in Mandarin.
这里是美国之音的中文广播，现在就开始今天下午六个小时的中文节目。
各位听众，今天是7月23号，接下来请听美国之音从美国首都华盛顿为您播报的这一小时的简要新闻。联合国秘书长古特雷斯发表声明说，他对加沙和以色列南部暴力冲突感到非常担忧。古特雷斯星期六说，我呼吁哈马斯和其他巴勒斯坦武装停止发射火箭弹和燃烧弹，以及在边界隔离一带的挑衅。以色列必须采取克制，避免局势恶化。古特雷斯还表示，任何紧张升级都会到威胁到人们的生命，加剧加沙地带的人道灾难，损害对巴勒斯坦当局返回这一地区的支持。古特雷斯发表声明几个小时前，哈马斯表示国际斡旋人士恢复了哈马斯和以色列之间的停火，但是以色列没有证实停火。星期六早晨，由于巴勒斯坦人试图冲击边界，以色列坦克向加沙的一个哈马斯设施开火，目前没有伤亡报道。星期五在加沙边界一带，一名以色列人被开枪打死，四名巴勒斯坦人丧生。这名以色列军人是2014年以色列与哈马斯的战争以来第一位在加沙前线阵亡的以色列军人。一个在孟加拉国帮助罗兴亚难民的医生组织说，医学与科学证据显示，罗兴亚人受到了缅甸军方与非军方的暴力袭击。在《请告诉世界他们对我们做了什么》的报告中，医生推动人权组织描述了他们对2017年8月缅甸若开邦恰宾村遭受袭击后的22名罗兴亚幸存者进行的法医调查结果。该组织说，恰宾是缅甸当局针对罗兴亚人展开暴力清洗的重要例证，在恰宾以及若开邦其他地方发生的一切以反人道罪展开调查。逃离的罗兴亚人描述了军队烧毁他们的村庄，用强奸、杀戮、抢劫以及部署地雷阻止他们返回家园。医生推动人权组织的项目主任温特尔斯医生说，我们看到的很多枪伤与人们在逃亡时被击中的枪伤一致，听到很多强奸和其他性暴力的故事，我们仔细分析研究了伤情、第一手证词、目击者描述以及所有我们的法医鉴定与幸存者描述的事件经过高度吻合。22名恰宾村幸存者当中的17人至少每人身上有一个枪伤，9个人的行动能力严重受损。中国共产党中央机关报《人民日报》旗下的《环球时报》发表社评说，面对美国在南中国海、台湾海峡不时展现的咄咄逼人的姿态，中国的核力量根本就不够用，要发展核战略力量。这个论调受到不少推特用户的嘲笑和讽刺。环球时报7月20日这篇社评的标题是特朗普敬重超级核大国俄罗斯的启示，文章反驳了中国战略界的一些流行的看法，那种看法是核武器只要够用就行了，持有太多的核武器要付出更大的成本，还有可能诱发外部的警觉。视频撰写者认为，这种看法是对大国战略态势的严重误读。中国国家主席习近平星期六抵达塞内加尔，开始他的非洲四国之行的访问。各位听众，您收听的是美国之音的国际新闻，这是从美国首都华盛顿为您播报的。
Hello, I'm Elizabeth Moore. Welcome to Functioning in Business.
各位听众好，我是杨晨，欢迎收听商务通英语。
Functioning in Business is an intermediate level business English course with a focus on American business practices and culture.
商务通英语是中等程度的商务英语课程，课程题材以美国的商业实践和文化为主，通过电台播音室里的采访和绘画讲授美国英语。今天我们复习本星期的课程，在第一课中我们重点讲解了用什么语言表达自己的意见。首先请听电话访谈。
On today's program, I'll be talking with Shirley Graham. She is calling from her office at Advanced Technologies in San Jose, California. How are you, Ms. Graham?
Fine, thanks.
Today, we are going to listen to your meeting with Mr. Epstein on Tuesday, June 11th last year. Mr. Epstein had met with Mr. Blake earlier that day, and they had discussed your plans to build a new factory.
Yes, that's right. And I wanted to be sure that Mr. Blake was aware of my concerns about the October deadline and after-sales service.
Let's listen to the conversation.
Okay.
Now, have you already discussed any of the project with him?
Yes, I had an excellent meeting with him this afternoon.
And did you tell him about my main concerns?
Do you mean the October deadline?
Yes, and the fact that they have no after-sales service in the States.
Yes, I did. And again, I was very impressed with his flexibility. I think that we can work things out with him.
Okay, as long as it's clear to both of you that it has to be worked out, and before October.Because that's our deadline.
Well, again, I understand your reservations, Shirley. But again, the technology of their product is really excellent. I think we really have to go ahead with this.
Yes. All right. Well, let's discuss it further tomorrow. All right?
Okay. All right. Thank you. We'll see you tomorrow.
We'll see you around 12 o'clock.
Okay.
听说练习请大家跟着我们说。
Have you discussed the project with him? Did you tell him about my main concerns? Do you mean the October deadline? I was very impressed with his flexibility.I think that we can work things out with him.
Elizabeth, 继续采访 Graham 女士。
Ms. Graham, let's talk about your conversation with Mr. Epstein. Your main concerns were with the October deadline and after-sales service.
Yes, that's right. I wanted to be sure that the robots could be delivered and installed on time.
By October.
Yes, the factory had to begin operation in October. I also was concerned about after-sales service. International Robotics is a Chinese company. I wasn't sure that they would be able to provide adequate maintenance and repair service.
Mr. Epstein seemed pleased with Mr. Blake's responses to these questions.
Yes, Mr. Epstein was convinced that we should buy Mr. Blake's robots. I wasn't so sure.
I see.Well, thank you very much for being on our show.
It's been my pleasure.
Let's take a short break. Welcome once again to Culture Tips. We're here with our business language expert, Gary Engleton. Gary, we have an email question about the structure of American companies.The question is, how are American companies organized?
Well, most traditional American companies have a clear organizational structure. It's clear who does what. People can change jobs, but the company structure does not change. For example, a salesperson can become a sales manager.
Or the manager of a department can become a vice president.
Yes, that's right.A worker can be promoted to a better job within the organization. the organization doesn't change.
I see.
Newer companies sometimes have a more flexible structure, especially in the high-tech world. These companies may be organized into project teams. These teams may be temporary.
Temporary?
Yes, they may work together only for a short time. Then the workers may be moved to other teams for different projects.
And what if there is no new project?
In many companies, these workers may be laid off. The president or vice presidents may not change, but the managers and workers will change jobs much more than in the past.
Why does a company adopt a flexible structure?
The world of business is changing very quickly. A flexible structure helps a company move quickly.
That makes sense. Let's listen to today's business dialogue.
I really think that we need to spend more money on research. We need more computer technology to keep up with the competition.
That's a good point. But in my opinion, we have to focus on keeping costs down. It seems to me that computer technology greatly increases the price of a car.
But I think that we need to move into the high-end market. And that means selling more cars to rich people in the U.S. and overseas.
Perhaps we should talk to our director of marketing.
I think that's a wonderful idea.
Gary 提示
Now it's time for Gary's Tips with Gary Engleton.
Hello, Elizabeth. Today I'll be talking about how to offer an opinion. When you give an opinion, it is a good idea to use an expression like, I think, or in my opinion. In this way, you show that you know you are offering an opinion, not stating a fact. In the business dialogue we heard earlier, the company president and vice president have different ideas about the importance of new technology. The president thinks that more money should be spent on research, but the vice president thinks it is more important to keep costs down. They use the expressions, I really think, and in my opinion, when they give their opinions.
I really think that we need to spend more money on research. We need more computer technology to keep up with the competition.
That's a good point. But in my opinion, we have to focus on keeping costs down.
Both executives try to soften the difference of opinion and keep the conversation going. The vice president also uses the expression, it seems to me, to offer his opinion.
It seems to me that computer technology greatly increases the price of a car.
Using the expression, it seems to me, is a good way to offer an opinion. American culture values the free expression of ideas. When personal opinions are presented as opinions and not as facts, people are more comfortable offering different opinions. This free discussion can also lead to new ideas, which are good for business. Thanks for joining us today for Gary's Tips. We'll see you again next time.
Thanks, Gary.
本星期第二课，我们重点讲解怎样客气地表达不同意见。首先请听电话访谈。
On today's program, I'll be talking with Mr. Mike Epstein. We'll be speaking with Mr. Epstein by phone from his office in San Jose, California.Welcome, Mr. Epstein. On our last program, we spoke with Ms. Graham about your meeting on June 11th.
Yes, we met together after my meeting with Mr. Blake. I was very impressed with Mr. Blake's company, but Ms. Graham had some doubts.
She told us that she was concerned about after-sales service and about the October deadline.
Yes, she was quite concerned about those issues, and I was confident that we would be able to work things out.
Let's listen to the conversation.
Now, have you already discussed any of the project with him?
Yes, I had an excellent meeting with him this afternoon.
And did you tell him about my main concerns?
Do you mean the October deadline?
Yes, and the fact that they have no after-sales service in the States.
Yes, I did. And again, I was very impressed with his flexibility. I think that we can work things out with him.
Okay. As long as it's clear to both of you that it has to be worked out, and before October. Because that's our deadline.
Well, again, I understand your reservations, Shirley. But again, the technology of their product is really excellent. I think we really have to go ahead with this.
Yes. All right. Well, let's discuss it further tomorrow. All right?
Okay. All right. Thank you. We'll see you tomorrow.
We'll see you around 12 o'clock.
Okay.
So
Ms. Graham still had doubts about Mr. Blake's ability to meet the deadline.
Yes, she did. I knew she was worried that Mr. Blake's company would not be able to install the robots on time, by the October deadline.
But you disagreed.
Yes, I was very impressed by the quality of the industrial robots. I knew that Mr. Blake's company had the best technology, and I saw that Mr. Blake was very flexible. I was sure he could deliver on time.
What about after-sales service?
Again, I felt that we could work out a solution with Mr. Blake.
Thank you very much for being on our show. Your comments have been very interesting.
It's been my pleasure.
Let's take a short break. Hello, and welcome again to Culture Tips. Gary Angleton, our business language expert, is here with us again.
Welcome, everybody.
We have an email question about communicating with bosses. The question is, sometimes I hear American workers arguing with their bosses. Is this normal in American companies?
Well, I would say that good bosses encourage their subordinates to disagree with them.
Why is that?
Well, think about it. Let's say that the boss is going to make a new policy. A subordinate feels strongly that the new policy will cause big problems. If the subordinate is right, the boss will look very bad.
I think that I understand. The subordinate can help the boss by keeping him or her from doing something stupid.
Yes, that's it exactly. That's why good bosses want their subordinates to tell them when they are wrong. Of course, the bosses want to hear strong facts and reasons to support the disagreement.
So they only want intelligent disagreement.
Yes, good bosses want to listen to different opinions and then make a decision. But there are limits.
What kind of limits?
Well, after the final decision is made, everyone has to support it, even the people who disagreed with it. If they don't support it, there will be a really bad atmosphere in the office.
So it's okay to disagree before the decision is made, but afterwards you have to be quiet.
Yes.
Well, once again, we've learned a lot. Thanks, Gary. Let's listen to today's business dialogue.
I'm really worried about the team. They're working so much that they're too tired to think clearly. I think we've got to give them a couple of days off.
I can understand your concern, but the project is almost finished. If we can keep everyone working for 3 or 4 more days, we'll be able to complete it on time. Then they can take a break for a day or two.
I hope you're right, but I don't know if they can keep going for 3 or 4 more days.
Henry, I understand what you're saying, but I think that you're a bit too worried. They're stronger than you think, and they know the importance of this deadline. Let's help them get through it, okay?
Okay. I'll do what I can.
Gary 提示
Now it's time for Gary's Tips with Gary Angleton.
Hello, Elizabeth. Today I'll be talking about how to disagree politely.
In business, it is sometimes necessary to disagree, even with your boss.
When you disagree, it's important to recognize the other person's feeling. In American business or social situations, it is very impolite to say directly, "You're wrong." Instead, you should use expressions for polite disagreement, as we hear in today's business dialogue. It is always a good idea to show that you understand the other person's position. For example, Amy says to Henry that she can understand his concern.
I'm really worried about the team. They're working so much that they're too tired to think clearly. I think we've got to give them a couple of days off.
I can understand your concern, but the project is almost finished.
In a similar way, Mr. Epstein shows that he understands Ms. Graham's position.
Well, again, I understand your reservations, Shirley, but again, the technology of their product is really excellent.
Even if you don't agree with people, you should let them know that you understand their idea. Here is an example from the business dialogue.
Henry, I understand what you're saying, but I think that you're a bit too worried.
If you want to resolve a disagreement and find the best solution, you want to keep communication open. The best way to do this is to treat the other person with respect. Using the expressions we've discussed today is one way to show this respect for the other person's ideas. Thanks for joining us today for Gary's Tips. We'll see you again next time.
Thanks, Gary.
本星期第三课，我们重点讲解了怎样使用拖延、推迟时间的语言。首先是电话访谈。
On today's program, I'll be talking with Mr. Mike Epstein. Mr. Epstein will be with us by phone from his office at Advanced Technologies. Welcome, Mr. Epstein. On our last show, we listened to your conversation with Ms. Graham. There was one thing I wasn't sure about.
Yes, what was it?
You wanted to buy robots from Mr. Blake's company.
Yes.
And you said, I think we really have to go ahead with this.
Uh-huh.
Well, Ms. Graham replied, yes, all right. But she didn't really agree with you, did she?
No, she didn't.
Let's listen to the conversation.
Well, again, I understand your reservations, Shirley. But again, the technology of their product is really excellent. I think we really have to go ahead with this.
Yes. All right. Well, let's discuss it further tomorrow. All right?
Okay. All right.
Why does she say, yes, all right, if she doesn't agree with you?
She is stalling.
Excuse me?
She's stalling. She is delaying her decision until later. That's why she says, let's discuss it further tomorrow.
I see.
She understood my position, but she didn't want to talk about it anymore.
Oh, now I understand. Thank you. So, what did you do after your meeting with Ms. Graham?
I called Mr. Blake at his hotel to confirm the meeting.
Did you speak to him?
No, I didn't. I left a message on his voicemail.
Let's listen to that telephone call.
Embassy Suites Hotel.
Yes, could you please connect me with Mr. Charles Blake?
Do you have his room number?
No, I don't.
One moment, please. I'm sorry, but your party is not answering. Would you like to leave a message?
Yes, please.
One moment, and I'll connect you to his voicemail.
The person you are calling is not available at this time. Please leave a message at the sound of the tone.
This is Mike Epstein. I wanted to confirm your meeting with Ms. Graham for tomorrow, Wednesday, June 12th. We will meet you at your hotel a few minutes after 12, and we'll have lunch together. I look forward to seeing you then. Goodbye.
Welcome once again to Culture Tips with Gary Engleton.
Welcome, everybody.
Well, Gary, today we have an email question about another important aspect of American business culture.
Great. What's the question?
The question is, how is information communicated in an American business?
Well, let's start with meetings. If there is information that really needs to be discussed, Americans usually call a meeting.
Uh-huh.
But in many American companies, people don't like meetings.
Why is that?
Well, they take up a lot of time. Everyone has to stop working and sit together.
I understand. What else can you do?
Well, you can write a memo and give everyone a copy.
That's convenient.
Yes, it's a good method when you want to give simple information to many people. But if you want to communicate with only one or two people, it is easier just to walk over and talk to them.
Personal communication can be very nice.
Yes, it's not as formal. It's friendly. Many Americans prefer that method. But email is really popular now.
Why?
Well, it's fast, and you can do it from your desk.
That is convenient, but not as personal. Well, thanks again, Gary.
I'm glad that I could help.
Let's listen to today's business dialogue.
Frank, can I talk to you?
Is it about Joe again?
Yes, it is. He's way behind on the project.
Joan, I'm really busy right now. Let's discuss it tomorrow.
Frank, it can't wait. He's hurting the whole team.
Joan, I don't think that this is the best time to talk about it. I have to speak to the board of directors in 30 minutes.
But it has been going on for weeks.
Look, let's sleep on it. We'll talk again tomorrow afternoon.
All right.
I'm really busy right now. Let's discuss it tomorrow. I don't think that this is the best time to talk about it. Let's sleep on it. We'll talk again tomorrow afternoon.
Gary 提示。
Now it's time for Gary's Tips with Gary Angleton.
Hello, Elizabeth. Today I'll be talking about the language function stalling.
What do you mean by stalling?
Well, sometimes you want to delay a discussion or a decision. Maybe you want more time to think or to get more information. Or you may just be too busy to talk. Today's business dialogue introduces a number of useful expressions for stalling. In the dialogue, Joan wants to talk with Frank, but Frank is too busy.
Frank, can I talk to you?
Is it about Joe again?
Yes, it is. He's way behind on the project.
Joan, I'm really busy right now. Let's discuss it tomorrow.
Frank explains why he can't talk now, and he suggests a time when they can talk. Joan feels the discussion is too important to delay. She uses the expression, "it can't wait," to say that something must be done now.
Frank, it can't wait. He's hurting the whole team.
Joan, I don't think that this is the best time to talk about it. I have to speak to the board of directors in 30 minutes.
Again, Frank stalls, and he gives his reason for the delay. Joan tries one more time, and again, Frank puts off the discussion.
But it has been going on for weeks.
Look, let's sleep on it. We'll talk again tomorrow afternoon.
All right.
Frank makes it clear that he does not want to talk about the situation until tomorrow. In her conversation with Mr. Epstein, Ms. Graham uses a similar expression to put off discussion.
I think we really have to go ahead with this.
Yes. All right. Well, let's discuss it further tomorrow. All right?
Thanks for joining us today for Gary's Tips. We'll see you again next time.
Well, our time is up. Tune in again next time for Functioning in Business. See you then.
今天的商务通英语就复习到这里。谢谢各位收听。我们下次再见。
For further study, a Functioning in Business study kit is available from your local bookstore.
为了帮助学习，商务通英语备有课本和录音带，整套辅导学习材料，听众可以去本地的书店购买。
听众，接下来请听这个小时的简要新闻。美国国务卿蓬佩奥说，伊朗政府已经是伊朗人民的噩梦，而美国不惧怕对伊朗政权最高层发动攻击。他还敦促所有的美国盟国联合起来，以财经手段对伊朗政权施加压力。蓬佩奥国务卿星期天7月22日在里根总统图书馆发表了上述讲话，当时在座的有许多伊朗裔美国人。他说，川普政府不会对他所说的伊朗政府举不胜举的罪行和恶劣行为保持沉默，这些行为包括盗贼统治。蓬佩奥说，上层统治者挥霍人民的财富用来支持恐怖主义，热衷于向其他国家散布伊斯兰革命。蓬佩奥说，伊朗经济正在红火，但只有统治精英们受益，并指责阿亚图拉们和伊朗最高领导人中饱私囊多达数十亿美元，而三分之一的伊朗普通人生活在贫困之中。在蓬佩奥谈到伊朗缺乏言论自由时，他的讲话被人打断，他心平静气地等待质问者把话说完，然后说，伊朗人也应该享有同样的表达自由。来自美国50个州的产品星期一2017年7月23日将在白宫展出，从糖果到太空服，这些产品种类多样。白宫声言，川普总统希望通过这次活动展示他领导的政府致力于确保更多的产品在美国制造。应邀在白宫展出产品的一些公司表示，他们对接到邀请参加这项活动既感到意外又感到荣幸。这些美国品牌既包括标志性的金宝汤和洛克希德马丁公司制造的 F-35 第五代战机，也包括不知名的葡萄酒、扫帚、马蹄铁和饲料品牌。川普总统已经宣布7月16日至22日为美国制造周，为工匠、创新者和制造商们喝彩。他保证会保护美国的工人，推展美国的工业。在此之前，川普总统扬言对500亿来自中国的产品实施关税，而中国肯定会因此对美国产品采取更多的报复行动。中国总理李克强要求对一家制药厂被指责在生产狂犬病疫苗时违规展开调查。长春长生生物公司被勒令停止生产并从市场上收回疫苗。在此之前，中国国家药检局查出这家公司伪造生产和质检记录。李克强星期天7月22日发出一项批示，谴责有关企业突破道德底线，并誓言会坚决打击任何危害公众健康的行为。加拿大多伦多市发生枪击案，多人被击中，枪手身亡。警方表示，枪击案发生在星期天7月22日晚上大约10点钟，有13人受伤，2人死亡，包括一名枪手在与警方的交火中身亡。多伦多的希腊城的目击者说，他们听到了20多响枪声，并看到多辆救护车和大批急救人员赶赴现场。多伦多市长利托星期一凌晨在记者会上说，整个社区对枪击事件感到震惊，但是他说，星期天晚上的枪击案证明了多伦多市存在枪支问题，因为太多的人太容易就可以得到枪支。阿富汗当局表示，流亡国外的第一副总统杜斯塔姆星期天返抵喀布尔国际机场的几分钟后，机场附近发生强力炸弹爆炸，炸死16人。警方的一位发言人向美国之音证实了自杀式炸弹杀手实施了这次爆炸。杜斯塔姆本人没有受伤。激进组织伊斯兰国声称对这次爆炸袭击负责，称实施这次攻击的目标是欢迎杜斯塔姆回国的人群，并炸死炸伤115名安全人员和副总统的支持者。各位听众，您收听的是美国之音的国
以下为您重播美国之音 VOA 卫视时事大家谈节目，因为是节目录音，请您不要拨打电话。
听众观众朋友们好，欢迎收听收看 VOA 卫视7月18号星期三的时事大家谈，我是许波，我们在美国之音华盛顿演播室为您现场报道。川普总统上个星期呢宣布反制中国报复措施，再加征2000亿美元的这个商品关税。北京表示中国政府将一如既往不得不做出必要的反制，但至今没有像上一次那样推出对等的反制措施。那么与此同时呢，中国在国内进一步降低反击美国的民族主义声调，在国际社会则加强抨击美国的单边贸易政策，强调贸易保护主义是对全球各国而非中国一国的挑战。那么贸易战升级，中国手里还有多少牌可打？调整策略，北京是不是在给自己留下后路？强调维护全球共同利益，中国能否在国际上找到帮手呢？今天我们时事大家谈就邀请专家与听众观众及网友朋友们一同来探讨这些问题。在北京通过电话连线参加节目的是北京经济学家、经济教授胡星斗。胡教授您好。
主持人好，听众朋友们好。
在维吉尼亚州通过视频连线加入访谈的是维吉尼亚大学商学院教授陈昭辉。陈教授您好。
主持人好，大家好，胡教授好。
我们欢迎两位嘉宾，同时我们欢迎听众观众朋友们拨打美国之音免费热线电话来参加我们节目讨论，号码是400-120-0551，400-120-0551。另外呢，您还可以通过 VOA 卫视在 YouTube 上的网上直播收看并加入我们的现场讨论，网址是 youtube.com/VOAChina。习近平他以牙还牙，言犹在耳，但是呢，在川普总统铤而走险推出对中国商品加征2000亿美元关税清单的一个星期之后呢，仍然我们看不到中国的反制这个措施。那么，我首先来请问维吉尼亚州的陈昭辉教授，这是为什么？
实际上啊，就是这个川普总统呢，我希望就是通过这一年多的这个了解和观察啊。我发现这个人呢，实际上是个很，怎么说呢？可以说是很，他的那个做决定呢，不是太思，就是深思熟虑的人。他是个很依靠直觉和依靠感情的人。所以说的话呢，在这种情况下的话，如果说是你马上进行反制的话，他马上就会就进行下一轮的反制。我觉得呢，就是中国现在呢是要改变一个策略。并不是说他没有反制，实际上他的反制已经开始了。为什么这么说呢？实际上你看，几天前实际上中国已经向 WTO 呢进行就是一轮，就可以说就是在告美国这2000亿的那个关税是非法的。这是第一。第二的话呢，你看呢，就是李克强总理到了欧洲去访问，要进行联欧抗美。现在他的发表的那些声明，就跟德国发表的声明呢，都是说是暗指示，甚至是明指示美国的就是不对的。还有的话，现在就像你们刚才报道的习近平主席呢也要进行出访在整个出访的过程中呢，我想就是联合其他国家共同对抗美国，然后在 WTO 的这个论坛里面呢就是或者甚至是这个一个仲裁的这个机构里面呢，然后呢通过这种形式呢取得胜利。所以说的话，他无非是换一种策略，而不是说是直接的对美国进行对抗。因为你假如说你确实对美国进行对抗了，那美国下面还有招中国呢实际上呢可以打的牌呢实际上已经不多了。所以说的话，他要换一种策略。
好的，那么陈教授的意思呢，中国有反制，只不过是以不同的形式。那么我来请教胡星斗教授，毕竟呢，中国至今没有像上一次那样拿出明确的反制这个措施，比如说你给我加征500亿，我就加征你的500亿。那么为什么是这样？北京在等什么呢？
对，刚才陈昭辉教授说的非常好啊。中国现在是显得比较冷静。也许是在以静制动吧。川普呢是非常不理性的一个人物。 咱们不能够像猛张飞似的啊去激怒他啊，更何况中国只进口了美国1300多亿美元价值的货物和服务，也的确没有办法出台对等的这个制裁的措施，而且中国现在所做的那就是围魏救赵啊，连横合作啊，就像刚才陈教授所说的啊，实际上这也是另外一种有为啊，或者说呢，通过这样的一种这样的一些措施啊，这个中国一方面它避免贸易战升级啊，它升级为技术战啊，如果美国对在技术上全面围堵中国啊，那可能对中国就更加不利。
嗯，
而现在已经这个制动呢，可以说你说北京在等什么，我觉得可能反而是在等这个川普这个出丑。你看川普啊，他这个走到哪都在这个出丑，都在挨骂啊。他这个贸易战即使在发达国家内部啊，也遭遇到不同的看法。比如说在 G7 的会议上川普就遭到了像是围攻，即使是那些盟国也认为川普他动摇了现有的国际秩序，也就是二战以后所建立的，甚至包括联合国、包括世界银行国、包括国际贸易组织、包括 WTO 这么一套国际秩序这个川普他也在这个也在动摇他，甚至颠覆他，甚至他可能架空 WTO 而且他这个对于北美自由贸易协议也要重谈等等所以这样的一些做法在发达国家内部也遭遇到了这个不同的这个反应可以说这个贸易战这么打下去虽然中国也输不起啊，贸易战没有赢家，但是美国他也赢不起表面上看他赢了，获得了一些关税等等，他好像赢了，但是实际上整个西方国家现在实际上也在怀疑他。
嗯，好的，那么看起来呢，两位教授呢都认为北京不是不反制，而是呢在这个改变方式，用其他方式来反制。那么我们现在就来看看中国的这个手里究竟有多少这个反制的牌。刚才呢，胡星斗教授说，如果北京拿不出数量型的反制措施呢，他可能有其他的办法。那我们就来数一数，他有质量型的反制的牌究竟有多少。首先我请教陈教授，您认为中国如果拿不出对等的这个反制措施，那么他手里有多少质量牌来可打呢？
就是第一个，就像我刚才说的，就是他通过联合其他国家，也是胡教授刚才说的，联合其他国家呢，然后呢，就是说在那个就是多边的那个贸易协定，就是在 WTO 的框架下面，或者在其他的框架下面呢，就是联合其他国家对美国进行反制，这是第一。第二的话呢，就是如果就是从单纯从那个贸易角度来说呢，他还有其他牌可以打，他可以通过非关税的壁垒来进行对美国企业进行惩罚，就比方说他可以就是通关，就是美国进口美国货物进口到中国去，通海关的时候呢，他就让你等，让你拖下去，这个事情实际上已经发生了第二情况下的话，他可以对美国货物呢进行一些抵制。就比方说这个事情当时比较极端了，但是它可以就是无形的中进行抵制。就比方说美国的牛肉到了中国以后，进口到了中国以后，只能是通过两家国营的分销商进行分销，然后这些分销商呢就把它分销的时候呢就加一个很大的那个就是 markup， 就是加价了。这样的话实际上是美国牛肉在北京可能卖到400-500块钱一斤，就没人买。 啊，第三的话呢，就是可以进行啊，就是直接的啊，对美国货进行一些啊，就是行政上的制裁，就是比方说美国车要上牌照啊，我就不给你上啊，就是这些事情呢，就是从贸易角度上呢，就可以进行打击。还有一个我认为是比较重要，也是比较直接的打击呢，就是对在华的美国企业，
嗯，
啊，它可以通过在华的美国企业进行一些制裁，它可以就像我刚才说的，它可以是隐性的，也可以是显性的，可能更多的是进行隐性的这种打击，啊，然后的话呢，就是让这些企业呢，就说是东西也卖不出去，然后呢，它的那个它的原材料也进不来，然后它要雇人的时候它也雇不到，对，通过这种一些打击呢。就是对让美国企业呢喊疼，回来以后呢就跟那个他们的那个政府就去抱怨，这样的话呢会减轻对北京的压力。还有其他的呢，就是一些极端的措施了，就像煽动民族情绪，鼓动民族情绪，就像当年对乐天一样的，就是抵制美货，就直接的进行游行示威抵制美货啊，但这样的情况我认为是比较极端的，就是说短时间呢可能不会发生。
好的，那么陈教授刚才说的这个几点反制措施里面呢，看来这个华尔街最担心的是什么呢？美国方面最担心的什么呢？就是说如果中方因美国向中国商品加征新关税而陷入困境呢，他可能不得不针对美国在中国的公司采取非关税的报复措施。那么就是刚才陈教授说的那样，我请教胡教授，您看有这种可能吗？
当然暗中还是有这个可能，但是我认为如果施加非关税壁垒的报复，这是很不明智的。它在国际上也会被认为说破坏了WTO 的这个承诺啊，中国对 WTO 的承诺，因为 WTO 它本身就是要求消除各种非关税的壁垒啊，而且呢这样做的话呢会吓跑了外资，本来现在许多外资在中国都有点这个望风而逃的意思啊，那你如果采取这样的一些这个措施的话，不仅是把美国的这个外资给吓跑了，可能连别的国家也会吓跑，因为在这之前中国不断的啊这个一会儿这个制裁日本的公司，一会儿制裁这个韩国的公司啊，那现在如果在制裁美国的公司，那各个国家都感觉到在中国的投资是不安全的，所以我认为这样的非关税壁垒的报复措施啊，这个应当不会很严重，或者说至少不会公开，而且这也是不明智的。中国即使这个报复呢，当然这个也只是为了停止贸易战，只是把它控制在非常有限的范围之内，所谓的止戈为我，只是为了实现停止贸易战这样的一个目的，而且中国呢，应当更多的从长计议，要致力于把自己的事情做好，而不是去报复美国，比如说美国。欧洲、欧盟、日本都不承认中国是市场经济体，那中国那就应当反思中国怎样才能够成为一个市场经济体？中国还是要深化改革，特别是改革国有企业，要改变目前的国进民退的状况。比如说这个刚刚这个出台的这些数据表明，国有企业的利润又增加了非常多，民企业的状况可以说是非常惨的。甚至有的人说未来可能中国就是国有企业与外资企业这个相互竞争如果国有企业跟外资企业竞争的话，那国有企业怎么可能竞争得过外资企业呢？所以这个未来中国还是的确主要是在成为市场经济体方面，减少政府对经济的干预方面要多做工作。还有呢，中国把自己内部的事情做好，比如说应当搞好民生应当弱化一带一路的投资等等。这个一带一路的投资还有对国外的捐赠等等有人统计了我这个是今天上午还是昨天看了一个数字，所以中国近年来的这个投资和捐赠这个 很多都是亏损的，绝大多数都是亏损的。
嗯。
啊，而且呢，这些资金可以够中国人啊三代人免费医疗都够了，不是说这个三年免费医疗，而是三代人免费医疗的钱都够了。如果中国不到处去投资，去到处去捐赠的话，啊，那个老百姓免费医疗的这种资金早就有了，并不是像他们所说的，好像中国还很穷，搞不起免费医疗。所以中国关键还是要把自己的事情做好。
嗯，好的。那么现在呢，已经有许多听众、观众朋友们等在线上，我们把他们通过电话连线的形式连进我们的节目中，听听他们的想法和看法。来接电话，北京的彭先生，彭先生你好。
你好，任何反制都是愚蠢的。我始终坚信川普总统啊，是上帝送给中华民族伟大复兴的礼物啊。中国和美国之间是可以和平相处的。从今天看，人民币已经又创了新低，应该是这个习主席已经采纳了我的方略吧。只要人民币贬值。
好的，谢谢北京的唐先生啊。下一位是天津的王先生，王先生你好。
这贸易战其实就是一个是三胖牌，还有一个欧洲。你像欧洲也明白一个道理，如果中国完了，下一个死的也就是欧洲，所以说这是互联的一个关系。还有我觉得这个政治内斗的话，以习近平这个性情，他这个不认输，而且他这个善于忍耐，我觉得最终死的也是江派啊。
好的，谢谢天津的王先生。下一位是山东的孔先生，孔先生你好。
你好啊。
嗯，
这个贸易战这个事儿啊，说想起来，这个跟苏联毛泽东跟苏联，这个反苏啊，五十年代末六十年代初，饿死了3750万，现在当时是6亿人，毛泽东说死3亿，我们还有3亿，现在呢是14亿人左右吧，如果死一半的话呢，也是还有7亿呢。我今天观察到啊，汽油那肯定是涨了3-4毛钱每一升啊，天然气呢涨了6毛，车用天然气涨了6毛钱，啤酒呢涨了2毛钱，
嗯，
就普遍往上每瓶涨了2毛钱，
嗯，
豆腐呢涨了2毛钱，原来2块钱一斤，现在2.2块了，
嗯，
所以说这老百姓啊有很大的弹性。中共真的缺钱的话，要打这贸易战，我建议啊，你就往老百姓上弄点钱，是吧？这个汽油钱啊，天然气钱，我也没汽车，是吧？这往这上弄点钱，我往豆腐上弄点钱，弄点钱呢，就够这个川普，够呛。我认为川普够呛。
好的。
因为川普呢是跟中共打贸易战，跟老百姓没什么关系。
嗯。
谢谢，再见。
好的，谢谢山东的孔先生。啊，我们刚才呢，这个两位教授呢都数了数啊，这个中国手中有多少牌？看起来呢，这个中国手里的牌呢似乎不算太多。那么我来请问陈教授，这是不是近来北京降低反击声调、调整对外宣传策略的一个主要原因呢？陈教授。
实际上我认为呢，可能不是啊，就说是他要改变一个策略，就不是，就是因为他直接的硬碰硬的跟美国干下去呢，因为川普已经把这个他要做的事情已经非常清楚的啊，就跟大家讲清楚了。如果说你再就是对我这2000亿再进行那个反制措施的话，我马上再加 ，OK。就是这个，而且的话，他在最近这一年多的这个可以说是谈判当中呢。他已经是说非常清楚的表明了自己的态度了，就是他从来不会犹豫的。就比方说，就是刚刚才说是加了340亿美元的那个关税，接下来的话他说哦，我们可能在8月份再加其他的啊，就是160亿，加到啊总共加到500亿。结果的话，他还160亿还没有加呢，他直接就是2000亿就加上来了。
嗯
啊，因为中国马上进行对等的报复。所以说呢，就是这个报复就是直接的，就是对等的，就像他说的以牙还牙以眼还眼，这种对等的报复呢 在这种下去的话，是对这个情况不会有任何改变，因为川普马上就会进行反制，他一点都不会说是说啊，我要仔细考虑一下该怎么办，他不会，他已经说清楚了，已经这个我想大家应该很清楚了。在这种情况下的话，那你就要改变策略了，就像我刚才说的啊，他就必须要联欧，或者说是联日，甚至是联其他的国家啊，联合在一起的话呢，通过其他的方式呢来解决这个问题。但也说的也对，因为确实是在这个就是直接的贸易战里面的，它能够用的武器呢也是不多的。就像刚才胡教授说的，中国向美国进口才1300亿，你怎么对等加2000亿？你说这个质量的话，实际上都是什么呢？你说质量上对等的话，就等于说呢，等于说是就像刚才我们说的一样，就是你会加就是升温，对这个贸易战进行升温。那美国同时你要对以质量对等的话，美国也有很多可以跟你质量对抗的那个后招。所以说的话我认为这是一种战略转移，不能通过硬碰硬的这种跟美国干下去，而是通过其他的方法。现在还有一个最大的原因呢，我认为呢就是什么呢，特别他对舆论的控制对舆论的严格控制，就对不能就是对大家对这个贸易战进行太多的讨论，特别是过激的言辞都一概那个删掉。就是说从这个角度上呢，我们可以看到什么一个迹象呢，就是他还是准备跟美国谈判，然后准备进行妥协的。
好的，我来进一步来请教胡教授。那么中国官媒我们记得曾把贸易战呢说成是一场叫国运保卫战，要奉陪到底，记得习近平还说过叫以牙还牙。那么为什么现在不这么说了呢？胡教授。
是这个也很难说它是国运保卫战，应当说它反而会促进国运的改变。能够促进中国更加开放。这个贸易战对老百姓也没有什么不好，就像刚才有听众所说的，对老百姓其实没有什么不好的。所以中国呢也没有必要像刚才陈教授所说的那个硬碰硬啊。中国的确这个中国向来是中国传统的哲学嘛，以静制动，以柔克刚啊，是这样的一种哲学，不需要跟他呀这个也硬碰硬，更何况中国在以往的贸易中，在以往的中美关系中，中国都没有吃亏。中国的关税本来就比较高，因为中国作为发展中国家，关税高达10%几。而美国的关税呢，平均关税只有1%多一点。所以美国即使再增加10%的关税，对这2000亿美元，实际上。他仍然是跟中国的关税水平是差不多的，中国人还是没有吃亏，更何况，在其他的领域，比如说在网络领域啊，在传媒领域啊，在孔子学院等领域啊，美国对中国都是开放的，但是呢，中国却没有对美国开放，像谷歌啊、推特啊、Facebook 啊，他都不能够进入这中国，所以从这方面来说，中国。是中国政府吧，他没有吃亏呀，所以呢，现在中国也许他未来要应当更多的将注意力，放在如何这个使得自己的产业更加具有竞争力，这个产业升级科技创新应当放在这方面，这样呢。可能才能够不惧怕贸易战，甚至也不惧怕这个技术战。
好的，今天呢时间关系，时事大家谈讨论呢到这里就结束了。我们不能一一接听听众观众朋友们的电话以及回答网友提出的所有问题。我们感谢胡星斗、陈朝辉两位教授参加我们的节目。时事大家谈是一个自由的论坛，我们的嘉宾、听众、观众发表的都是他们个人观点，不代表美国之音。明天时事大家谈呢，请继续关注我们的热点话题，同时也请关注我们的美国观察节目。好，我是许波，我们下次节目再会。